I have a couple of announcements from the 8:15 service. The first one is the women's Christmas party is December 8th, not December 3rd. What was that? I thought so, sorry. The children's and Sunday school and preschool are making angel ornaments to be available on December 2nd, which is next week. The benefits are for the preschool scholarship. There's a poinsettia sign-up sheet in the narthex, or you can see Pam, and the deadline is next week, next Sunday. If you would like to have offering envelopes for 2013 and don't already get offering envelopes, please see Judy Emmerich or let the church office know. Also, the children participating in the children's Christmas program will start practice at 6:45 this Wednesday before choir. Does anybody else have any other announcements? I don't see any. All right, time for a time of sharing. I have two prayer concerns. The Albert Timmons family lost their home in a fire on Saturday morning. And I know in the Lebanon Daily News there's information about donations. So if anyone needs that information, you can actually contact me. I can get that information for you. Janelle Redmond's grandfather was killed in an auto accident in Texas on Wednesday. And does anybody else have any prayer concerns? Bob?
Following the early service, I heard that Kevin Boltz is having a liver biopsy on Wednesday. And so we want to remember Kevin in our prayers.
I think Linda has one. Say Linda Ziegler has one.
Yes, Nancy Bowman would appreciate if we would continue to pray for her. She continues to have some issues, and our prayers will be appreciated by her and Jim.
I know I saw my mom's hand up. You don't have to go over. I can make her prayer concern. My nephew Josiah has been very ill. He was actually in the emergency room on Thanksgiving evening with a very high temperature, so just keep their family in our prayers.
Yes, remember Lisa Gagliano in your prayers. She had a knee replacement surgery on Monday, I believe, and she's doing well. She's home, but you know, the long road of recovery and recuperation and physical therapy is before her, so remember her.
Yes, I was going to ask for prayers. I'm having problems with a tooth and became infected twice and it got worse. You'll see my face is a little puffy and that, but my dentist has been keeping in touch with me and got me special antibiotics. And so he recommended that I get a root canal. And he said he can get interns in, that it's not going to be that huge cost for me. So I'm just praying everything goes well.
I think there's one more.
Yes, and yesterday after the fire departments left the Timmons home there in Friarstown, they also responded to one down in Tilden Township, which I do not know the lady's name, but here her husband had died last week, and now yesterday her house was falling in love with the fire.
I'd like to request prayer for my neighbor, Ken, who had a massive heart attack, the intensive care in the Good Samaritan.
Any others? I know we had a lot, but please still feel free to share. All right, I don't see any. So if we could turn to the opening hymn, it's the insert in your bulletin folder.
Thank you.
Let's turn to the good news listed in the bulletin and read it together. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us.
I think that's a simple enough one that we could all sing that. Could you play it again? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness.
With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Let's pray together. God, we thank you that we can come together in this place and sing of your mercies, because your word, even in the book of Lamentations, even in the midst of sorrow and lamentation, your word says that your mercies are new every morning. And so we can get up today and tap into your mercies, because they're new again this morning. And it's because of that that we want to sing of your mercies. And we want to sing songs, hymns, and songs of praise to you. We're grateful that we can come together. We're grateful that we're a part of the family of God, that even when we feel alone, even when we carry the weight of rejection with us, that nevertheless, we're part of the family of God. And we thank you for that. What a gift it is to be a part of your family. Thanks also that we can lift up those, that some of whom we don't even know who they are. We don't even know their names. And yet, concern has been lifted up for them. And we're very happy that we can join together and lift up our prayers to you, believing, as your word says, that where two or three agree on anything on earth, there is agreement in heaven. And we're grateful for that. And so we can pray with a great sense of confidence as we pray for Janelle's family at the loss of her grandfather, who was tragically killed in a car accident down in Texas. We pray that you'd be with the family and that you would comfort them and strengthen them. And we lift up Pat Timmons' son, Albert, and his family, who lost their home yesterday. And many of us heard the sirens and saw the smoke. And he's a nearby neighbor, and his house is a total loss. And so we pray that you'd be with the family. We're so grateful that Albert and his wife and their four children, their lives were spared. But they've lost a lot of things, and we pray that you'd be with them. And we thank you for an opportunity, for a generous outpouring of support for that family. There's another family, another woman who was involved in a fire. We don't know her name, and yet you know her name. And she is also grieving the loss of her husband recently. And we pray that you'd be with her and that you'd comfort her and strengthen her and supply all of her needs. And we thank you that you promise in your word that all of our needs can be supplied by the glorious riches that are found in Jesus Christ. We pray for Kevin Boltz as he anticipates a liver biopsy this week, and pray that you'd be with him. And Nancy Bowman, who's been undergoing some issues and is anticipating a doctor's appointment in a few weeks, pray that you would be with her. We pray for Josiah, who's had a high temperature, and pray that you'd be with him and that you would reduce his temperature and that you would provide healing and wholeness for her body. We pray that for Lisa Gagliano, who had a total knee replacement just this past week and is home recovering and doing fairly well. And we pray that you'd be with her, that you would continue to provide your healing virtue to bring healing and wholeness to her body. We pray that for John Kruger, who has a tooth problem. Lord, we're so grateful that we can come to you with great, great problems, life and death kind of circumstances, but that we can also pray for you when we have issues with teeth and even with colds, that there isn't anything, any need that we have that you're not willing to listen to, and we're thankful for that. We pray for Paul's friend, Ken, who had a massive heart attack. Pray that you'd bring healing and wholeness to his body. We're so grateful to see Earl Miller here this Sunday. Pray that you'd continue to be with him and continue to watch over him and bless him. We're grateful for the baptism service a little bit later in the service, and pray your blessing upon that time. And it was so appropriate to sing that song, "I'm Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God," because we celebrate adding new members to the family through Christian baptism. We're grateful for that. Thanks for this day. We are a blessed people. We've just come away from a Thanksgiving holiday, and many of us were able to gather with family and friends, and we're grateful for that. We have much to be thankful for. We give thanks in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven.
As I watched the news about the Israel-Gaza conflict this week, and I'm sure many of you watched the same thing, I realized they're talking a lot about who's right and who's wrong, and a lot of it's just empty words. You know, why does it really matter? To me, the real victims are the people who are innocently caught in the crossfire, just simply trying to live their lives. And then yesterday, a fire just down the street from where I grew up that involved people who I went to high school with, made me realize something. All people have lost just trying to live our lives. Some of us have lost loved ones unexpectedly. Some of us have lost our livelihood, some our houses. The difference is that our losses here in America are generally not due to intentionality of another to do harm. We also have family, friends, and neighbors who will give us a helping hand to regroup, rebuild, and survive through life's dark times. Who do the people who have lost much in the Arab nations have to help them through the dark times? Family, friends, and neighbors who have lost as much, if not more, than them. Who is there to give them a helping hand? Let's pray. God, we sometimes forget how blessed we are. We have a warm place to sleep at night, free from the terror of war. We have food on the table, and we know that tomorrow will bring the same comforts. Please help us realize how much others need our support to achieve those same things we take for granted. Please help us be that helping hand when it is needed. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from Acts 28, verses 16 through 31. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ.
With malice toward none, and charity for all. You know who said those words? Who? Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, sure. Yeah, anybody remember what speech they were included in? What is it? No, not the Gettysburg Address. The second inaugural speech. And one of the things that's significant about them is not just the words themselves, but the fact that he was inaugurated, it was his second inauguration on March the 4th, and just a matter of weeks later, he was assassinated. And so these words even have greater significance because of the timeline of his life and death. Anybody go to see the movie Lincoln? Yeah. Pretty terrific movie, I think. I went together with some family members just on Friday and was really, really moved by that film. I thought Steven Spielberg did a really good job of portraying of an honest portrayal of the life of Abraham Lincoln, that it illustrated both his character and his ethics, but also the fact that he was a human being that had some flaws as well. He was a real person. And the reason we treasure his words is not because the words were so outstanding, but because his life was so outstanding. His words have significance to us because his life had so much significance. And that's what I'd like to talk about today as we relate it to the Apostle Paul. For those of you who are visiting with us today, we've been reading through the book of Acts, and today is the final lesson from the book of Acts. And for the past number of weeks, we've been studying the life of Paul, and we've seen what a significant life the life of Paul was. And because of the significance of his life, there's real significance in his words. I mean, just the other day, I was thinking about all of the things that Paul had to say that have had real meaning to my life. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that I'd like to share just a couple of those words with us and realize there are way too many to share in the context of just one sermon. That even if you think of just his one letter to the Philippians, which is a rather brief letter, but a significant letter because it was written from prison, that even within that letter, there are a number of verses that are significant to many of our lives. For instance, he begins in chapter 1 by saying that he who began a good work in you will see gave him that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, you know that as well. See, these are all, just in this one little letter, so many wonderful verses that probably we're not even aware that we know them by memory. But see, you do. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I have learned the secret of having much and having want. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then Paul concludes the letter by saying, my God will supply all of your needs. Now, isn't it interesting? Here's Paul in prison, and he's encouraging those who are not in prison and saying, listen, this God who began a good work in you, he's going to see it to completion, and he will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Well, the reason those words are so memorable is because of the life of the one who spoke those words and wrote those words. Because his life was so memorable, those words are so memorable. And so what I want to talk about briefly this morning, because we have a baptism coming up briefly, and I'm not going to preach my typical 11-point sermon, but want to talk about the need to allow our walk to match our talk. You know, we have that expression, if you're gonna talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. I did a little research to find out where that expression came from. And the first time it appeared in print was in 1921. About a man by the name of Howard Herring, who was part of the American Clock Company. And I tried to find out who in the world Howard Herring was and what he was doing for the American Clock Company. Couldn't find out anything else about him. But in the Mansfield Daily News, there was that one phrase about Howard Herring, that he not only talked the talk, he walked the walk.
Well, that's where that phrase, according to the Google search that I did, found that that was the first time that that phrase appeared in print here in America. But the idea is as old as the Bible. I mean, Jesus himself said, everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them or does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the rains came and the winds blew and the floodwaters arose, that house will stand because it was built on solid rock. And the brother of Jesus, James, went on to write in his letter, be ye not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. Well, that was kind of biblical language for if you're going to talk the talk, you also need to be willing to walk the walk. There's one other scripture that I want to point to because it speaks specifically of this need to walk the way we talk. And it actually talks about walking. And it's actually at the beginning of John's first epistle. If you want to turn to it, 1 John, which is toward the back of the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7, I think. Now, the interesting thing here is that John is writing, there's a division that is arising in the early church among the what were known as Gnostic Christians. And the thing about the Gnostic Christians is that they made a separation between physical life and spiritual life. And kind of what they taught is that if you've got your spiritual act together, your physical life doesn't really matter. You know, what you do in your physical life if you have your spiritual life together. And that sort of, we don't call it Gnosticism anymore, but that sort of attitude I have found to be existent among a lot of Christians, you know, who have the scriptures memorized and can really talk the talk, but they find it difficult to walk the walk. And listen to what John writes to that dilemma in his first chapter. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, with God, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it talks about the need to not just talk about, you know, the light of Jesus, but to walk in the light as well. And as I was reading this, I thought of the story of David, who was in his palace one day, just kind of minding his own business, and he looks out over the balcony, and he sees this really beautiful woman. Her name is Bathsheba. And he becomes just absolutely infatuated with her beauty, seduced by her beauty, and decides he needs to have her. Well, you know, David already has a harem, and really didn't need one more beautiful woman, but he decided he needed to have her, and she was married to one of his soldiers, Uriah the Hittite. And so he knew that if she was to become a part of his harem, that he needed to do something about Uriah. And so he talked to his general. He said, when you go into battle, I want you to send Uriah to the front line, and when you're engaged in battle, have all the rest of your troops withdraw, knowing that Uriah would be kind of caught in the crossfire and that he would be killed, and thinking that, you know, the blood wouldn't be on his own hands, David. And so that happened, and Uriah was killed, and David took Bathsheba to be his wife. But he lived in what I believe was a moral and spiritual prison. the kind of prison that exists when we talk one way, but we walk a different way. Now, no one was willing to confront David, because he was the king, and you just don't confront the king about his sins the way you're able to confront your pastor about his sins, you know. We live in America. Isn't that wonderful? But God instructed one of the prophets of that day, his name was Nathan, that he needed to go and confront David about his sin. And Nathan was a rather wise prophet, and so he went and he told David this story. He said, you know, there were these two men. One was very rich, one was very poor. The rich man owned a vast number of sheep and cattle. The poor man only owned one sheep, and he loved this sheep. In fact, he used to hold his one sheep in his arms. He used to feed it with his own hand. He used to give him drink from his own cup. And one day, a visitor came to visit the rich man, and he wanted to prepare food for him and didn't want to slaughter one of his own sheep. And so he took this one sheep from this poor man, slaughtered it to feed his visitor. And when David heard that story, he was enraged. He said, "Who is this man? I will have his life." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man. It's you." And David immediately was convicted about the gap between his public life, his public faith, his public morality, and his private life, his private faith, his private morality. And he said, "I have sinned before my God." And he grieved over his sin. And because God's mercies are new every morning, he was restored to his faith. Listen, it's so important that our walk reflects our talk. There is real freedom when our walk reflects our talk. I mean, imagine sitting around the Thanksgiving table and talking about turkey and talking about potato filling and talking about pumpkin pie and talking about cranberry sauce and talking about all of your family being there, but none of it being true. It's just all talk. Wouldn't that be a lovely Thanksgiving? The same is true of every part of our lives. If we only talk it, we never experience the real value of it. And so, my brothers and my sisters, let us be not only hearers of the word, but let us also be doers of the word. Let us consistently practice what we preach. Let us walk our talk as we follow Jesus, because that walk our talk as we follow Jesus, because that is the joy of being a follower of Jesus. There is the freedom of being a follower of Jesus, when we don't just talk it, but when we walk it day by day. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And we confess to you that we do, all of us, have this tendency to talk in a way that we find it very difficult to walk. And help us with that. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And so our lives, as we come before you just now, they're covered by the blood of the Lamb that purifies us from all sin. And John said just a verse later that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We thank you for your word. We know that they are righteous and true altogether. They are the words of life. Help us to follow those words each day of our lives. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to move into our baptismal service. And we're only going to do two baptisms today because the Yenser boys have family members who really wanted to be a part of their baptism, but were out of town today and asked if we could reschedule. And I said, sure, no problem. We'll just leave the water in the baptistry and I'll bring some of my chlorine and kind of shock the water. I'm joking, of course. I don't think it's any problem at all. And so we'll have another baptism in a few weeks. And if between now and then you've been thinking about being baptized and would like to be baptized, give me a call and we can arrange for that. But today, I would like to invite Dakota Himmelberger to come forward and Matt Blatt to come forward, and as well as the deacon and deaconess who will be caring for your spiritual needs. And so if you would come forward, and we'll just sort of introduce you to the congregation. And we have a baptismal certificate that we want to present to you. But that means then you have to be baptized, okay?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, good. And so this is Matt Blatt. Mm-hmm. Matt is the son of Richard, the grandson of our own Richard Blatt. And Matt, when his granddad was struggling at the edge of life, I was visiting there one day, and Matt said, I got to get baptized. Can I get baptized? I said, sure. Where's the water? And so we're really grateful to have you. And then Dakota Himmelberger is with us also, and Dakota also is at a point in his life where he's, you know, asking the right kind of questions and really feeling like it's important that that he care for the spiritual part of life. And we're praying, I know as somebody who accepted Christ when I was 12 years old, that, you know, I accepted Christ and then my hormones started flowing. And it makes it difficult to walk that out, but I know it's possible to walk that out. And so we're going to pray for both of you. And I wonder if you would present the baptismal certificate, and then Richard and Beatrice can do that. And this is a great day in the life of the church. And so we're grateful that you could come and be a part of this day. And so now we'll dismiss you to go and get ready for baptism. And thank you for participating. And we have kind of a gap here. And so I was thinking, we ought to sing a song. How about number 102, To God Be the Glory? Can we just do that impromptu? Great.
Thank you.
Matt, do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Do you receive him as your Savior and serve him as your Lord?
Yes.
Will you seek to turn away from all sin and try to live by the example and teachings of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Will you support the church, the body of Christ, with your prayers, your presence, with your substance, and with your service?
Yes.
Go ahead and kneel. Put your hands up. You know, like your shoulders. Your hands like this. Dakota, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for Dakota's life, and we thank you for his desire to want to be baptized and to commit his life to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his baptismal vows and his desire to want to live a life of service to you and want to seek to follow the example and teachings of Jesus. And so we pray that you would bless him. We pray that you would pour out your spirit upon him and make him able to fulfill the promises that he's made here before you and before this congregation today. We thank you for his life. We pray your blessing upon him in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're going to need more water.
Yeah. No, I'll make it go over.
Matt, welcome. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son, and will you receive him as your Savior and serve him as your Lord?
Yes.
Will you seek to turn away from all sin and live by the example and teachings of Jesus? Will you support the church, the body of Christ, with your prayers and your presence, with your substance and your service?
Yes.
Go ahead and kneel. Tuck your feet back in there.
Yep.
Okay, put your hands up like this. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Matt, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and then in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for Matt's life. Lord, I thank you for the example of his grandfather. And I thank you, Lord, now that Matt is following the example of his granddad and seeking to become a faithful follower of Jesus. I pray your blessing upon him. I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon him and enable him, give him the power to live with conviction the promises that he's made here before you and before this congregation today. Thank you for his wife, for his family. Pray your blessing upon them. Pray that you'd watch over and supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you.
Well, the water's warm. Anyone else? Well, we will conclude our service by inviting you to rise to your feet and sing our closing hymn. We're going to try to quickly get our clothing changed, and both Dakota and Matt will make their way to the back of the sanctuary where you can greet them with the right hand of fellowship.